How do you do? When a man is walking the wrong way in life, he encounters adversities to bring him to his senses. But if he knows he is going the right direction for the right reasons, those hardships merely test his endurance, his commitment. How does he know the difference? The man in this story knew because his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Declaring the truth that makes you free. This is Unshackled, true life stories of real people dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people who come to Pacific Garden Mission and remain overnight may be weary of the world and its ways, their spirits as worn as their shoes. But the mission provides a safe place to rest, nourishing meals and fresh clothing, all without charge. Even medical and dental treatment is given free to resident guests, thanks to friends who send financial gifts. Needful as they are, these things do not restore the battered soul. For that, pastors and counselors open the door that leads to new life, sharing the good news that transforms. Those who accept the invitation are renewed in the spirit of their mind. They put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created them. And that same good news goes out to the world through this program, celebrating the gift of new life. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3277 in the series, Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Doing okay, Annette?
Yes. Riding in this truck might make the baby come sooner, but I'm ready.
It's been fun having you with me on this trip.
Yeah, I get to see what you do on the job.
I wouldn't want to do this the rest of my life, though.
Why was that guy honking and waving at us?
He was pointing at the undercarriage. I'd better pull over. The gas tanks are on fire! Get out, Annette! Run! They might explode!
Oh! Oh no! What's happening?
It was an accidental fire, but the man in our story knew there was another message. Still, he carried on as before, ignoring the wake-up call. This is the true testimony of Jim Hinkle and how he was unshackled.
I was number 8 of 10 children who grew up in a small town in eastern Pennsylvania. Dad was a produce salesman who brought home the bruised and discarded fruits and vegetables from which Mom miraculously fed our family. I wore patched hand-me-down clothes from my older brothers, all of whom were 6 feet tall like Dad, while I was the runt. At 6, I had a bout of rheumatic fever.
The doctor says Jimmy has St. Vitus dance from the rheumatic fever.
So that's why he's been twitching like that.
He should improve with the medicine.
I don't want to lose him the way we lost his brother.
He could have heart complications.
We must pray, Lydia, and ask the folks at church to pray for him, too.
I was terrified each night when Mom turned off the light. Afraid I wouldn't wake up. Afraid of death. I missed a lot of elementary school, but I passed. Then when I was 14, I faced a new threat, a blood clot in my leg.
Now, Jimmy, you heard what the doctor said. Keep your leg elevated. You have to get the swelling down. If the swelling gets bigger, you'll die.
I don't want to die, Mom.
When you know the Lord, you go to be with Him, Jimmy.
Our family always went to church, and my nearly 400-pound dad would sing his favorite hymn so heartily the whole pew would shake. When I was 18, a pastor visited our home and quietly asked me if I was born again. I had no idea. When someone else asked if I was a Christian, my reply was, "I must be. I go to church 7 hours on Sunday." He asked me where I would go if I died right then, a question that troubled me so much, I cried out to God one night.
God, I know I'm not saved, but I want to be.
I know I'm a sinner and I repent my sins. I need Jesus to guide me. Help me understand, God. Please save me. God heard my cry that night. I was born again and started attending a church in Freeland, Pennsylvania, where the Word of God washed through my heart, clearing away all but the true meaning of Christmas that year.
Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Friends, that's why Jesus came to earth as a babe in a manger. That's the real Christmas story. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
There is only one response to a gift so magnificent. Give him your life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're right, Jim. The will of God is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
And after that?
Stay in God's word so that you can be led by the Spirit of God who lives in you.
Something happened in my heart tonight that I can't explain.
Jim, I've been feeling that God has a special purpose for your life, but I've refrained from saying anything until the Lord made you aware of it.
I think I'll go to Florida to see my brother, and on the way I'll visit the Bible school in Chattanooga.
I stopped in Chattanooga to see the Bible school, but I had no clear directions from God. In Florida, I took a job in construction, joined a local church, and served in youth ministry. One Sunday, I preached my first sermon at a church in Vero Beach. Afterward, I discovered my flat tire on my car. A young lady and her mother took pity on me and invited me home to lunch.
You say that was your first sermon, Jim?
Yes, I serve in the youth ministry at my church.
Do you want to be a preacher?
My brothers always said I talked so much growing up, I would either be a preacher or a lawyer.
Have you been to Bible school?
Not yet.
I'm sure you'll do fine.
Once I figure out what direction God wants for me, I'm praying about that.
I would find it hard to get up in front of people and talk about anything.
That's why I'm waiting for the Lord's direction.
Annette and I became friends and we were married when I was 20 years old. I kept working in the construction industry and ministering to youth in my church. Then we moved back to Pennsylvania where I continued to work in construction. Annette was nearly due to deliver our first child when the dump truck saddle tanks caught fire and we barely escaped the explosion.
Oh, Jim, that was close.
Too close.
What caused the fire?
I don't know, Annette. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm just scared.
If that motorist hadn't warned us, we might have been killed.
I hope it doesn't cost you your job.
Maybe we should move back to Florida after the baby is born. It's time I got back into youth ministry.
By then I knew what God wanted me to be, but I resisted. We moved back to Florida and continued as before. I worked in construction and served as youth minister at church. I put God's will for me on pause and proceeded forward with my own plans. Annette was pregnant with our second child when she suddenly had a miscarriage. We both grieved our loss. We bought a home in spite of my unease about evading God's purpose. Then our son Mark had pneumonia and was hospitalized. He had improved enough to come home when he suddenly developed double pneumonia and we had to leave him in the hospital another night.
Poor little guy, all alone.
I'll never forget him lying there, strapped to that board, needles under his skin.
He doesn't understand what's happening.
My heart broke when he cried,
Daddy, Daddy. And there was nothing I could do. It's my fault, Annette.
Jim, it's not. Why do you say that?
I've been running from God's call on my life.
Then let's pray about it, honey. Oh, God, please save our little boy.
Lord, we'll go any place you say and do anything you want. Just please spare the life of our son.
God, in his mercy, answered that prayer, and I enrolled in Bible school in Tennessee. We left our little house and packed our belongings, arriving in Chattanooga late one cold night. Exhausted from the trip, we rented the cheapest apartment we could find. Then we put Mark in the middle of the only bed and we crawled in on either side of him. The rickety framework gave way, sending the box springs, mattress, and us crashing to the floor. We just turned over and went to sleep. Morning came.
Oh, Jim, this place is filthy.
Yeah, we couldn't see the dirt last night. We were too tired to care.
I can't let Mark run around in this, and it's cold in here.
There's no furnace, so we'll have to turn on the kitchen stove for heat.
I didn't know it would be like this.
I'll help you put the bed back together. Then I have to go sign in at school.
Bring back some milk, will you?
That's another thing I have to do. Look for a job.
We had been married 4 years by then and had moved from Florida to Pennsylvania, back to Florida, and now Tennessee. If Annette had any regrets, she didn't express them. But the real trials lay ahead of us. I had no idea how severely our faith would be tested.
We'll hear more about the testing of James' faith in a moment. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. And we are grateful to God for providing this ministry to the homeless and for letting us reach the world through this program. Thank you, God, for our spacious new home with a larger medical and dental clinic that enables us to treat more patients more thoroughly. Thank you for everyone who supports this ministry in prayer, through financial gifts, and with volunteer efforts. Thank you for each radio station that broadcasts these testimonies and those who share their stories of your goodness and grace. Thank you for the translators who send these stories to faraway places in 14 languages. Thank you for every listener. We are grateful, Lord, for each homeless guest you bring us, each life transformed by your truth. The food we share each day would be nothing without the bread of life that comes from you, Lord. Truly, our God is the light burning in the old lighthouse, and we are grateful for every good and perfect gift he gives. Listening friend, you may join with us as we prepare to serve a bountiful meal to the homeless this Thanksgiving. Send your donations to 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607, or designate your gift for Thanksgiving. Donate online at www.unshackled.org. We praise God for your blessings to us.
Hi, honey. Here's the milk you wanted. What's wrong?
Look at the mess. I cleaned and cleaned while you were gone, and I had the place shining.
What happened?
The ceiling plaster fell down.
Oh, must have been the heat from the stove.
Now I have to clean all over again.
Don't cry. I'll help you. I'm all registered, and I have a lead on a job in a carpet mill in town.
But can you work and go to school, too?
It's the second shift. I'll be busy, but the Lord is my strength.
I landed the job at the carpet mill and bonded with the boss immediately. He was a Christian. He called me one day and asked me to come to work early so he could drive us to the Chickamauga battlefield, a Civil War site. When we arrived, we got out of his car and started walking.
This here's Snodgrass Hill where the rebels finally drove the Yankees out of Chickamauga.
Fierce battle here.
And we're going to do some spiritual battle here in prayer.
What a great idea.
Okay, now I'm going to go this way around the hill. You go that way. We'll meet back here and go back to work.
Any specific prayers?
Pray for God's will for the guys at the mill, their salvation. Just pray as the Lord leads you.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen, brother. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
We often met before work to pray at the battlefield. I didn't realize it then, but God was preparing me for a life of faith, totally dependent on God's word. I would write a prayer request on a card, slip it in my pocket without telling anyone, and God would provide in his own way. Once I needed a tire but had no money, and a man brought me a new one, the exact size. At the end of the semester, I couldn't pay my tuition, which meant I couldn't take final exams. While I was remodeling an apartment near ours, Annette walked over with the mail. She was crying.
A letter came for you, Jim.
From Little Rock? I don't know anyone there.
There's a check inside.
A check? It's enough to pay my tuition.
Who is he? Why did he send that money?
He's an airline pilot. He came to the church in Vero Beach and remembered me.
But how did he get your address here?
He says God brought us to mind and he made some phone calls. Then God prompted him to send us some money.
Oh, Jim. What an awesome God.
One of the staff at the Bible school hired me to help build a building. As I labored in construction, I wondered how this trade would be used for ministry. But God knows the end from the beginning. The Bible says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." I had been in Bible school a year and a half when I knew that God wanted me to leave.
Leave the school? But you haven't finished, Jim.
I've been praying for many nights, asking God to guide me, and I'm sure he wants us to go back to Florida and trust him for whatever he has for us.
Have you discussed this with anyone at school?
My favorite professor told me I should obey God, but another professor thinks I'd be making a big mistake.
But you've made the decision, haven't you?
Yes. I can't shake the feeling that God has something there for us. I must obey God's call. I want to live by faith, without asking for money and without a paying job.
Jim!
If God closes the door and doesn't provide our needs, I'll come back to school. I promise.
Once again, we packed our meager belongings and headed south in our 10-year-old car with only $48. When we arrived in Vero Beach, we stopped to visit an elderly couple we had known for years. They directed us to a home prepared for us, fully furnished with cupboards stocked with food, provision from God. We began holding weekly prayer meetings for 15 to 20 people. Then we found a vacant church we rented for worship services. We used lawn chairs for seats.
The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him."
Yes.
So Annette and I will live by faith here. We will take no salary. As you can see, the pulpit is an orange crate. We've put two boxes on either side of the entrance door. One is labeled for the church and the other is labeled pastor. My family will live out of the proceeds of the second box. We won't pass an offering plate nor speak of this again. What God provides is all that we want.
Some pastors were shocked at our decision to live by faith, but we didn't go hungry. After much prayer, God led us to an empty house that he provided for our youth ministry. Every night the doors were open for teens in our community to play games, sing gospel songs, and study God's word. Every month God gave us the funds to keep the ministry going. Never late, never early either. Always enough. One day I received a phone call from a local businessman.
Something wrong, Jim?
His son got in trouble with the law and ran away from home. He wants me to find his son and try to help the boy.
When will you be back?
When I find him. I don't know where this trail will lead.
How will you know where to look?
I'll pray and trust the Lord to guide me.
I'll pray too, Jim.
Good. I don't have much money, but the car is full of gas. I'll keep in touch and let you know what's happening.
Somehow, by God's grace, I tracked the runaway boy to a pool hall in a town 25 miles away. He was with a buddy. I called his parents and told them and arranged to bring the boys home the next day. Then I drove the boys to a nearby Christian camp that I knew would give us food and lodging for the night. The next day, we drove home.
What an adventure you had.
More than you know.
Are the boys okay?
Yes. I talked with them in the chapel at camp. One of them said he was already saved. The other professed faith in Christ right there.
I'm glad they let you stay at the camp.
Gave us a great meal, and then a cabin for the night. I spoke at their Bible study in the morning.
Good.
God spoke to my heart there, Annette. I couldn't sleep because in my mind I kept seeing a ranch, similar to the camp.
A ranch?
Yes. I got out of bed and went outside and prayed under an oak tree. Later, when I tried to go to sleep in the cabin, I'd see that ranch again.
What do you think it means?
I think God is going to use me to build a boys' ranch.
How?
I don't know.
Where?
I don't know. Somewhere in Indian River County.
Huh. A boys' ranch.
God is going to do this, Annette, not me. It will be a place operated by faith, and it'll be a blessing to many people.
My dear wife always supported me as I followed the Lord's lead. We announced to the congregation what we believed God would do, and word spread. Many were dubious, some encouraged us. I trusted God and began an 18-month time of severe testing. But God is faithful.
Hello?
Is this Jim Hinkle?
Yes, it is.
This is Mrs. Smith. I heard how you want to build a boys' ranch.
Yes, ma'am.
How can I help you?
God wants me to do it.
Well, God has led me to do something, too. I'm going to give you a piece of land to begin the youth camp. It's undeveloped. 31 acres out in the country.
I couldn't wait to see the newly acquired land, which looked like a jungle. I parked my car in the dirt road at the edge of the property and started walking. It was overgrown with palmettos and dense underbrush. A coiled 6-foot rattlesnake greeted me, so I veered in another direction.
A rattlesnake? You have your work cut out for you, Jim.
The land is marshy and thick with scrub brush, almost impenetrable, Annette. First, we'll have to do a controlled burn to get rid of the underbrush.
You'll need help with that.
The board of directors offered to help any way they can.
This is such a blessing from God.
When we get the land cleared, we can live there in a trailer.
With rattlesnakes?
Annette, you're a wonderful wife. You never complain, and you go with me wherever the Lord leads.
I trust the Lord, Jim. And he says, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church.
There's a Boy Scout camp behind the property. I recognized it as I was walking around.
I remember when we went there to give a devotional.
At the time, I thought, who would want to live in a spot like this?
God has a sense of humor. What are you going to call the ranch?
Shiloh. It means place of rest.
Doesn't sound like you're going to have much rest.
A group of men who were supporters or officers in the board of directors gathered as we signed the papers of incorporation that established the boys' ranch. Many of them helped me do the controlled burn and then later joined me on the property to map the layout of the site.
I count at least 5 marshes on the property.
6 altogether.
Makes building a challenge.
There's no shortage of skeptics.
You know what Jesus said? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible unto you.
That's a challenge for some believers.
Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
This is about the middle of the property, don't you think?
Yeah, but getting vehicles in here is pretty hard. We can't seem to maneuver. We need a road grader to put in some road so we can move around.
I'll pray about that.
If we can clear just a couple of marshes, that would help too.
Listen.
But what is it?
Some kind of heavy equipment on the frontage road.
Yeah. It's Saturday, though. The county doesn't work on Saturday.
I'm going to go see what it is.
The thick vegetation on the frontage road obscured the view as I ran toward the sound. I knew God was going to do something special. As I ran, I could see a road grader coming up the frontage road, and I prayed a brief prayer asking God what I should do. I reached the grader and waved my arms to flag him down.
What do you want?
I don't want anything, but my lord has need of this machine.
Climb in!
Following my direction, he drove back and forth around the site, grading future roads all over the property. The men helping me watched in amazement as I waved when we passed by. We serve an awesome God. God's plan was starting to unfold, and many a night I knelt and prayed on the spot where I thought a tabernacle would be built. I'm ready, I thought. But God had just begun his boot camp training. The next 18 months would test me as never before and drive my wife to a breakdown.
You won't want to miss the conclusion of Jim's story next week. A story of numerous disasters and God's faithfulness through it all. What about you, listening friend? Do you believe God and trust him with your life? Do you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Jesus Christ is that friend. He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," which he did on the cross for our sins. If you have never thanked him for his sacrifice, you can do that now by praying with us. Dear Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for giving me a new heart so I can be like you. Thank you for the gift of eternal life through you, Jesus. Come into my life and change me. In your name I pray. Amen. Let us know you prayed, and we'll send you some literature to help you walk in this unique spiritual endeavor. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry. www.unshackled.org. I'm part of a family of nine, and my brothers and sisters ask for your program every night, a listener wrote. Well, we hope you ask the manager of this station to keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3277, heard in the true story of James Hinkle, part one, were Tom Taylorson, Leah Mortensen, Rick Dianofsky, Lisa Keefe, and Jeff Lupitan. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, PGM staff. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.